for coming. I'm really excited to talk with you for a short time about social media and why we should care about social media, what that looks like. I'm going to give you a brief outline of what we're going to do today, and then we're just going to jump straight into it. It's going to be broken down into three parts, roughly 15, 20 minutes each. No promises. The first part, we're going to look at why we should care. So why do we even have a Sunday where we talk about social media? Why is that important enough to deal with in here? And then the second part, we're going to have a discussion for mostly parents and adults about what the different apps on the phones and computers are that the students know about, but the adults may or may not have a clue. And then the last little segment today will be a question and answer time for you to be able to ask any questions that you want. The only part I would add to that is there's no promises I'm going to have an answer. So you may get an I don't know. You may get a guess, but I'll do my best to answer any questions at the end. Okay? All right, so the first thing we're going to look at today is why should we care about social media? Why should we spend our time thinking about social media? I'm going to give you four reasons. Okay? The first reason that we should care about social media is a cultural reason, and it's the fact that social media is everywhere, and it's not going to go away. We need to spend time talking about the importance of social media for a very simple reason. None of you in here can escape it. You cannot hide forever from social media. It's everywhere you turn. Every commercial has a hashtag for you to use on Twitter or Instagram. Every TV show, every actor, every athlete, every sports team, every candy, every business, every nonprofit, every church has its own Facebook account. And it's only going to be bigger. Social media is everywhere you turn. So it would be helpful for us to think a little bit about what to think about social media. The Gospel Coalition wrote a recent article, 9 Things You Should Know About Social Media, and we're not going to look at all 9. Some of them were important enough, I felt like I needed to share them with you. So here's some of the facts. If social media companies were countries, Facebook would be the second largest country in the world, only behind China, with 1.1 billion users. 1 out of every 7 minutes online is spent on Facebook. There are 58 million tweets a day on Twitter, 9,100 tweets every single second. The average Pinterest user sits on Pinterest for 15 minutes at a time. Women make up 60% of social media users, and the fastest growing demographic in social media is the 55 to 64-year-old age bracket. The fastest-growing age bracket in social media is actually grandmas and grandpas. We use our mobile devices 40 to 80 times a day. 40 to 80 times a day. Does it feel like it? 50% of our smartphones connect to Facebook every hour of every day. 1/2 of us use our cell phone to connect to social media 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not going anywhere. You cannot hide your kids from it forever. It's everywhere we turn. Therefore, you and I should care deeply about social media. So that's the first reason. It's a cultural reason. It's not going anywhere. The second reason is a theological reason. We were made in the image of God to live in relationships with one another. Part of what the image of God is when God created us male and female, He created us to be in relationships. He created us to connect. If you have your Bible with you, you can look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. starting in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Every single person in this room, every single person on the planet, has been created in the image of God. And that's fleshed out in two ways. We reflect the image of God when we rule over creation, when we have dominion, and we reflect the image of God when we relate to one another. So let's think about those two parts really quick. Dominion, ruling over all creation. In 2014, part of what having dominion means is creating new things, like the internet, creating apps. It means being able to use them in a way that meets our purposes. It's being more proficient and efficient with technology. That's what having dominion over social media looks like. But what we're going to focus on today is the relationship aspect. Being made in the image of God means you live in relationship with one another. And we see this in social media. Every time you send a friend request, every time you follow somebody, every time somebody follows you, you are living out as one who is made in the image of God. And this is because our relationships actually point back to the God who has existed in a relationship for eternity in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look back at verse 26. It says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Not my image and my likeness, but our image and our likeness. You see a plurality, three. God has always been in relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we live in relationship to reflect Him, to image that relational God. So every time you log on to Facebook to share a photo you really like, every time you post a video to Vine or YouTube, every time you send a private message to a friend on Snapchat, you are actually displaying the image of God. So we see that, first, there's a cultural reason. Social media is not going anywhere. Two, there's a theological reason that social media actually helps us image God as one who's in relationship. But three, there's a personal reason. This one should hit home for all of us. How you use social media shapes how people view you. This one's important. I'll say it again. How you use social media shapes how people view you. The way you use social media has a huge impact on how people see you. I think this is one of the most overlooked truths about social media. How easy is it for us to not think about it? We say things online that we would not say to somebody's face. We click like or share or tweet and retweet to things that we would be embarrassed about if I somehow put them on the screen. But when we get behind the computer or behind our phone, we're fine. We need to think deeply about how people see us when we're on social media. And I think it's real easy for the adults in here to think that I'm just talking about the youth. That the teenagers need to think about what they post online and some of the things they follow and some of the things they retweet because they're inappropriate and they wouldn't do them here in church. But I want to be fair and say that all of us need to think about how people see us on social media. And there are several adults who need to think about the way they're using social media. Are we always complaining? Are we always bickering? Are we always putting up our favorite political arguments and we're putting up our favorite theological arguments and putting the other party down, name-calling, complaining about our kids who won't sleep? The way we use social media says a lot about who we are. So every one of us, whether 13 or 81, needs to think about how we use social media because that's how people see us. Kevin DeYoung writes this, "Whether you are a tween, a pastor, a politician, a grandma, or a grad student. Whether you blog, tweet, post, or pen, here is the one indispensable social media rule you must follow if you want to be wise, edifying, and save yourself a lot of anguish. Are you ready? Here's the one thing. Assume that everyone, everywhere, will read what you write and see what you post. Assume everyone, everywhere, will read and see what you post. And even if that's not true, the God who sees everyone and everywhere will. There's a really helpful book for the parents. Just want to mention there's a book called A Parent's Guide to Using Social Media. It's really short. I read it in about 30 minutes, but it's filled with helpful tips on how to guide your kids through social media. It's called A Parent's Guide to Understanding Social Media. And in one of the chapters, they give five warnings about this truth, about the way people see us in social media. And I just want to read them to you. They are very helpful. First, everything you post online is public. There is no such thing as internet privacy. You can adjust your privacy settings on Facebook and Twitter, but the truth is that if you post it online, there is a way to find out about it. There is no such thing as privacy. Number two, everywhere you go is tracked. If you think that you can hide what you're doing by deleting history lists, you're fooling yourself. Everywhere you have ever been online can be tracked. Number three, you cannot delete anything. There's always a record of what you've done. You cannot delete it. Number four, this is really helpful for the younger generation in here. Employers look at social media profiles before they hire. Are you one day hoping to get a job? Then you need to think about how you use social media, because that may be the difference between whether you get the job or you don't. And then lastly, colleges actually now screen social media profiles before they accept somebody into their college. If you're in high school, middle school, and you want to go to college one day, you should think about how people see you on social media. It may be the difference between whether you get into college or not. So, to summarize, you should care about how people see you, and you should care about how you use social media. So we've seen three reasons so far. First reason is a cultural reason. It's not going anywhere. Second, we saw a theological reason. We're made in the image of God, a God who's always been in relationships. And three, a very personal reason, you should care about how people see you. And then fourth is a practical reason, more for the adults in here. Parents need to be aware of what's going on in their homes. And I know that's not shocking to anybody in this room, but it's a good reminder. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you need to be aware of what's going on in your home. So, mom and dad, if social media has not already consumed the attention of the kids in your house, it's going to. Social media cannot be forever escaped, whether it's today or it's when they turn 18 and leave the house. They're going to one day need to know how to navigate Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Vine and Snapchat with wisdom. And how are we going to shepherd them to do that? So as parents, we're called to lead our kids to walk in the ways of the Lord and to live in wisdom. It's much like Solomon in the book of Proverbs when he's sharing with his son how to walk in the ways of the Lord. Look with me really quickly at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I know this is a passage that we've all read many times and thought about, but I wonder if we've ever thought about it in terms of how it impacts the way we use social media. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Just think about how much that says to us when we think about how we use social media. What does it look like to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to not lean on your own understanding when you put a new status update? What does it look like to acknowledge Him and let God make your path straight when you are thinking about whether you want to retweet something to your followers? What does it look like to be not wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord and turn away from evil when you see an argument going on online and you're debating on whether you want to chime in? And what would it look like for God to use social media in your life in a way that honored Him and was somehow healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones? I imagine that the way we use social media most of the time is not very much a healing to our bones and much refreshment. Instead, it brings a lot of anxiety and frustration and arguments and bragging. But what would it look like if we used social media that way? Parents, this is our daily call to our children. We should be like Psalms saying, remember God, cling to His Word, pursue wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart every time you log in. What does that look like? If social media is everywhere and it's not going away, then we need to be vigilant in immersing our children in the Word of God. Remember, I read some of the stats earlier about how much we're using social media now. Some of our phones log in every hour of every day. And in many of our homes, that's normal. But what would it look like if that's how much we turned to the Bible? What would that look like if in our home we discipled our kids that for every hour you spend on social media, there's an hour spent in the Word as family? Are we really pushing our kids to be wise and to acknowledge the Lord in all their ways when we spend 8 times more energy and time on Facebook than we do in a devotional? But that's difficult, and it's easy for us to passively let go and just let them spend all that time in social media while not pushing them towards Scripture and the Lord. It's our responsibility. We can't just give in because we don't understand it. We can't just passively let go of social media because I don't understand technology these days and there's always something new to learn. As a parent, it's your job to learn it. Be familiar enough with the technology that you can have a conversation with your student. It does not matter if it's difficult or beyond you and you just don't understand. We need to be learners of our culture and learners of our students and what they're into and how we can connect with them. Mom and dad, don't fail your kids by passively letting them do whatever they please and being wise in their own eyes. Take an active role in leading your kids in wisdom in all areas of their lives, but especially social media, considering how much of their life is spent on it. So just to recap, we've been talking for a few minutes about why you need to care about social media. So number one, you should care because it's not going away. It's not going anywhere. It's just going to become more and more prevalent in your house. Number two, your kids are made in the image of God. And God exists in our relationships in the Trinity. So when they are in social media, they're actually imaging God. And you image God when you use social media. The third reason is that you need to care about how people see you. And the fourth reason is that if you're a parent, it's your duty, it's your obligation to God to know what's going on in your home and to shepherd your home in wisdom. Now, real quickly, before we transition to the second part, I just want to highlight a few resources that you may be interested in. The first two resources you'll see, Covenant Eyes and Triple X Church. Now, some of you are nervous. Triple X Church is actually a content filter. Covenant Eyes is the same. These websites and applications protect your computer from going to things they don't need to go to. Some of them create email lists, and they'll email to an accountability partner, and they tell the accountability partner every single site that you've ever been on. And so maybe it would be wise for your family to invest in one of these. I believe Covenant Eyes is $7 a month, $8 a month. Triple X Church may be free, but they are very helpful whether you're a parent concerned for your child or if you're an adult wanting an accountability partner for how you use your phone and a computer. Both of them are really helpful. I will just go ahead and tell you that they're not perfect. There's no such thing as an internet filter that filters everything. There's always a loophole that somebody can find and get around it. But they're helpful guardrails. So don't invest in these things thinking they're your end-all, be-all savior for internet purity. But they're helpful. The last two resources you'll see on the list are some websites. ConnectSafely.org, CommonSenseMedia.org. These are huge. I'll just tell you, I used these websites for hours leading up to this discussion. Both of these websites, you could find a specific app. Say you see your student on a new app and you've never heard about it. You don't know what it is. They have exhaustive lists about what each app does, what your children are exposed to, what these are intended for. It is so helpful. So if you hear about a new app or your student's talking about something you've never heard of, don't passively let it go. Actively get online and go to one of these websites and find out what that app does. And if you can't find it there, Google it. Google it will help you. We don't need to passively act as if we can't find out. So all of these should be really helpful to you and your family as you think about how you use social media and how to navigate that in your home. There's tons of other lists. There's books. But these are four that I wanted to recommend to you today. Now, I failed to do this earlier, but before we move to part two, I'll just do it now. We're going to get into the specific apps that are really prevalent today. We're going to talk about what your students are able to do on their phones and what they're exposed to, and what different apps do. And because of the nature of social media, some of the content is going to be questionable for younger kids. So if you're nervous about what a younger student might hear, it's your opportunity to let them go to children's Sunday school. We're not going to get explicit or anything, but I want you to know up front what's going on your student's technology and what's out there. I don't want to be naive and not share that with you, but here's your opportunity now. So now that we've taken time to look at why we should care about social media, let's now turn to specific social media apps that are out right now and think about how we can use them to glorify God. So part two is apps 101. Just a brief discussion on what some of these apps are. And the first one we're going to look at is Facebook. And I've titled this section, The Falling Giant, Facebook. For many of the adults in this room, I think that when you heard about a discussion on social media, and when you think about your teenagers using social media, the first thing you think about is Facebook. It's everywhere. Like we said earlier, if it was a country, it would be second in the world only to China. 1.1 billion users use Facebook. And that's probably even more now than when that research took place. In many ways, Facebook reigns supreme in social media, and that is not news to anyone in here. But what might be is there's one area where Facebook is not king. Anybody have a guess? Teenagers. Teenagers do not use Facebook. Social media might be king, or Facebook might be king of social media, but it is losing the teenagers. Young people are using it less and less. And the biggest reason for teenagers not using Facebook? Old people. Your teenagers do not use Facebook because you use Facebook. And all the old people in their church use Facebook. And their grandma uses Facebook. So they're not going to use Facebook. When Facebook first started, I was actually in college. I remember the time it happened. It was actually called College Facebook. It wasn't even called Facebook yet. And what it was meant for was college students to connect on campus with people that were in clubs that they liked and things like that. But it exploded and it went beyond the college campus and became Facebook. And everyone in the world needed it. And now, like we said earlier, the fastest growing group on social media is the 55 to 64-year-old women's bracket. So that the fastest group on Facebook, fastest growing group, is grandmas. It is quite a different picture between college Facebook and Grandma Central. Facebook has changed. Add to this the fact that there is an ever-growing stream of new apps to try out, and it's easy to see why our teenagers don't care about Facebook. Why hang out with the adults when you can sit at the teenage table? I was listening to a secular report on the news about social media, and this one analyst said this: Facebook is the living room. Twitter and Instagram is the basement and the bedrooms. Facebook is the living room. Twitter and Instagram are the basement and bedrooms. Just think about what that looks like in your home. So what does this all mean? Well, Mom and Dad, if you think you know what your kids are doing online because you're friends with them on Facebook, you are mistaken. You would have no clue about what your student's doing online just because you're friends with them on Facebook. Most teens, if they do have a Facebook, which they rarely do anymore, if they do have one, they use it to create a family-friendly persona that mom and dad and aunt and uncle and cousins and grandmas can look at and say, hey, look what Sally's doing. That's so nice. They put another Bible verse up. But then they use other social media websites to explore, to push the boundaries, to dive into the taboos of our culture, to be teenagers. They're not doing that on Facebook. So in real simple terms, don't depend on Facebook. If that's where you're going to be a parent and to guide your kid in wisdom, don't depend on Facebook. It's not going to help you. So let's move from Facebook to two more well-known but not as big apps for social media. The bedrooms and basement of social media, if you will. Twitter and Instagram. If you're a more in-the-loop parent about technology, you might not just think about Facebook. You might be with the times a little bit more than that. And you might think about Twitter and Instagram. But if you don't, you should. So let's walk through Twitter and Instagram really quickly. Twitter lets users send out really short posts. You can only use 140 characters, really simple messages. Many students have a Twitter account, but Twitter is rare in this fact. It's unbelievable. Twitter is more popular with adults than with students. Content-wise, Twitter does have filters for adult content. However, like any other filter we've been talking about, Twitter fails in some areas and can't get rid of everything. It tries. If your student has Twitter, here's some tips on how to shepherd them through Twitter. There's a list called the following list. You just ask your student, who are you following? And there's a list. You click following, and it tells you every person that your student watches. And so there are 140 character messages pop up every day from this following list. So if you check the following list, you get to see who your students read. And a lot of these will be friends. Celebrities are big on Twitter. But there's also these just weird, funny theme accounts that post pictures like girl problems. And this all posts about girl problems. Or high school life. They're cooler names than that, but that's kind of what they're looking for. So if you want to know what your student's doing on Twitter, you can't just look at what they're writing, but you need to look at what they're reading by looking at the following list. That's one of the key ways. Let's move to an even more popular. In fact, some argue that Instagram is the king of social media among teenagers. Not Facebook, but Instagram. Instagram, if you don't know, is a photo sharing site that allows users to connect their photos to other social media accounts. So Instagram is where it all begins. They take a picture here and they can link it to a million different places. Babbel.com, not a Christian website, wrote this about Instagram. And if non-Christians are saying this, then we should think about it deeply too. This is what they say. If there's a network that parents are not on but should be, it is Instagram. If you want to shepherd your kids wisely in social media and you do not have an Instagram, you're missing out on step one. Instagram. Like Twitter, it's crucial to know the following list. Just like on Twitter, there's a list of who you follow. On Instagram, there's a list of who you follow. What photos do you get to see? It's the same concept. You need to know that. Here's three more important things to know really quick about Instagram. On Instagram and Twitter and all of them, there's private messaging. So you should talk to your students who about their privately messaging that other people can't see. There's a list called the favorites page. It has a little star on the bottom of the screen. And this is what's really popular right now. And just to be really clear, if there's something inappropriate that shows up on Instagram, it's going to be from the favorites page. I don't know how many discussions I've had where the reason that people were tempted to think through things that they shouldn't was because of the favorites page. So you need to talk about, what are you doing on the favorites page? What kind of stuff have you seen? And lastly, we said it's 101, here's a couple of quick tips. Hashtags. If you don't know what a hashtag is, it starts with the number sign and then there's a keyword, and that's where you can see theme-related pictures. So it might be like hashtag selfie Sunday. Hashtag Selfie Sunday is where people take pictures of themselves on Sunday and then send them to everybody else. And so if you just want to see a billion pictures of people taking pictures of themselves on Sunday, then you can go to hashtag Selfie Sunday. Here are some hashtags you need to know about. Hashtag MCM, Man Crush Monday. If your daughter is putting hashtag MCM, this is who they think is cute. You might want to know that. Hashtag WCW, Woman Crush Wednesday. If you're a boy or girl, puts a WCW, you might want to talk to them about that. Hashtag TBT, Throwback Thursday. Every day has their own thing. So hashtag TBT is Throwback Thursday, where you take a picture that's a throwback, an old picture of yourself. Here's what I looked like when I was 5. TBT. I don't know. Okay, the last one. This one's really important. Hashtag TBH. This means to be honest. This means when they do a TBH, they're just being really blunt about what they think. And this is where bullying comes into play. They say, everyone that follows me, give me a TBH. Tell me whatever you think about me. And then the fun ensues. It's serious. You need to know about the hashtags. So if you see the number sign in a word or an acronym you don't know about, you need to ask about it. Because that's just the cream of the crop. We haven't even gone real deep in that. If you want to shepherd your kid on how to use social media wisely, you got to start with Instagram. So now let's go to the growing unknowns. Those were the giants. Let's talk about the lesser known apps. You've heard of Facebook. You've probably heard of Twitter and Instagram. But every day, more and more new apps pop up. Some of them are even more popular among teenagers, but adults do not know about them. And I want to walk through just a few of them to kind of give you an idea of what's going on in the world. And you need to know an important truth. It's humbling. You will never be able to keep up with every single app because there are hundreds and thousands of them every day, and you never know which ones are going to go viral and everyone download them. So, it's not necessary to know every detail about every app. It is necessary to know about every app your student is using. It is not necessary to know about everyone, but you must know every single app that your kid is using. Every single one. So here is just a short list. First up, Snapchat. This app, by non-Christians, has been called the parents' worst nightmare. Snapchat is a photo and video sharing app with a twist. The media you send disappear 10 seconds after viewing. You take a picture, you send it to a friend, they see the picture, it disappears immediately. I'm not saying that every person who has Snapchat uses it for this purpose, but you should know this. Snapchat was invented by a couple of guys in a fraternity house who wanted a way to take pictures with girls on campus that were inappropriate and they could be deleted in a way that no one would ever know. That is the purpose for Snapchat. It is to take pictures of yourself in inappropriate ways and no one will ever know. As scary as that is, I would guess that 3 out of 4 of our students has Snapchat. Mom and Dad, if you let your student have Snapchat, which that's your prerogative, your conscience, you bear the responsibility to consistently walk with your student on what it means to walk with wisdom using Snapchat. Second on the list of the lesser knowns is Kick. Kick is an instant messaging app. Just like you can text with your phone, some people don't want to pay for text, so they download apps like Kick so they can text message for free. That's pretty smart. The problem is what else they use it for. It's also filled with photo sharing as well. And we could go on for hours, but I'm just going to give you the most important stuff up front. The important thing, mom and dad, parents, grandparents, you need to know about Kick is just how prevalent adult material is on Kick. There are no filters on Kick. They don't care what is posted on Kick. That's not their thing. You can post whatever you want, anything in the world. In fact, you know, I've mentioned how Twitter can sometimes, their filters get messed up, and Instagram, sometimes you can find stuff that Instagram does not allow on there, even though they have filters. The number one way that that stuff gets through the lines is through Kick and through apps that don't have filters. The number one way adult content gets on social media is through Kick and through a few others. If you have a daughter on social media, and not just Kick, on social media, you need to know how many sexual predators, how many men are using apps like Kick and Snapchat and Vine to trap your kids. They're not just doing it for their own fun, but they are actively pursuing young girls and gay men to trap them. And they do this by using those hashtags that we talked about and putting them on things that you would never even think about, like hashtag frozen. You would think about the movie and pictures of people watching the movie. and I don't know this, but it's just an example, predators are using hashtags like that that you would never think about to trap people into seeing things that they don't want to. And kick is one of the most common. It is everywhere. When we talk about lust and pornography and sexually explicit material, I think everyone automatically assumes we're talking about boys. But if you have a daughter on social media, you need to be aware and talking with your daughter just as much as you're talking with your son. It is everywhere. So again, if in your household you decide that's okay, you can use Kick, as long as we have discussions about it, you need to be vigilant and walking alongside your student. And how do you use Kick? With wisdom and purity. The last one we're going to look at is Vine. You can think of Vine as a 6-second version of YouTube. Vine is filled with short little clips, many of which are artfully done, many of which are hilarious, many of which are just genius, many of which are explicit pornography. Vine has no filter. Vine has no adult content rule that you cannot break. You can make 6-second video of anything you want. Vine has several times been sued and shut down and brought back and challenged because of just how much filth is on Vine. And to be very clear, Twitter bought Vine. Twitter has not put any more rules on Vine. And when filth gets into Twitter, it's because of Vine. So like Snapchat, like Kick, like any of these apps we've talked about that have no adult content filter and they're blatantly dangerous, if you allow that in your house, then you need to regulate daily what's going on your student's phone with these apps. And last, I want to talk about the never-ending list of new apps. We don't have time to dig into each one like we have with the others. Up here we have Ask FM, Feed, Skype, Uvu, FaceTime, Pinterest, YouTube, Tumblr. There's hundreds of others. The number grows every day. You cannot escape it. It's not going anywhere, obviously. And there's two routes you can take. You can go into a just crazed panic and ban phones from your house and no more social media. Or you can think about how you navigate that with wisdom and purity and teach your children how to do that. Because, like we said earlier, they either learn it now or they learn it when they go to college. And it's your choice which one that's going to be. So instead of trying to escape in a panic, we need to intentionally, proactively train our children on what it looks like to connect with one another on social media in a way that honors the Lord. I want to be very clear. As parents, you have every right to know everything about what's going on in your house and on your students' screens. They cannot tell you that you don't have a right to know. You have a right to know. Have discussions, ask questions, point to truth, point to wisdom, point to grace. If we're going to teach them how to navigate, then we need to teach them what it looks like to fail and repent and seek grace from God, just like we need to teach them how to walk in victory and in purity. Our hope is not to forever escape the wickedness of social media. Our hope is Jesus. Jesus, if you think back to the four reasons we should care about social media, Jesus did them all in His life. He perfectly displayed the image of God. He not only lived in a perfect relationship with His Father, but He connected us to the Father so that we could live in relationships. And He did this in perfect wisdom and purity. He is your only hope to shepherd your family in wisdom He is your student's only hope to live in a social media-filled world in purity, in wisdom, in holiness, in a way that points to our Savior. Your hope is not to ban social media or to hide your kids from everything forever. Your hope is Jesus. He is the only one who's going to be able to bring us through that. Now, I've gone a little bit longer than I planned to, and so that we have enough time for in between here and worship, have maybe two or three, four questions, if there are any in the room, and then we're going to, I'm going to say a few words to close, and that'll be that. Does anybody have any questions on social media, why we should care, what kind of apps your kids are using, anything like that? Maybe a harder trail to follow. But there's no such thing as a forever hidden trail.
Just because the app's not on the phone.
Right. That's true. You can make it harder. Many of these apps are not just phone apps, but they're also internet apps that you can be on a computer or any device. Some of them are strictly mobile device apps. There are some that you cannot use on the computer. So it would really depend on which one. But yes, you could do that. Yeah? That's right. You don't, like... Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. If you didn't hear what she said, one of the important points is not just to check your students' profile and what they're doing, but what their friends are doing. Because there are many accounts. Twitter has millions of accounts of people who do not actually write anything, they just read others. So if you're only looking at what your students writing or posting, it may be fine. But they may be reading tons of things. So you need to check those follower lists and friends and other accounts that they're connected to. There is a way to save them. He's talking about Snapchat. That's the one that disappears in 10 seconds. The scarier part is that you can actually save it to your phone. So if your student Snapchats to somebody a 10-second picture they're intending to disappear forever, that person can quickly, in that 10 seconds, freeze it and save it and expose it. So there's not a lot of good going on Snapchat. That's right. That's right. In the book I was reading that talked about that, as far as nothing's ever deleted forever, there is a reason why when people are arrested, they take their computers and mobile devices. It's because even if they tried to delete it, they're going to be able to pull up stuff that you think is hidden. So yes, even in Snapchat, the things disappear in 10 seconds. There are trails. Yeah, those websites I mentioned, Connect Safely and Common Sense Media, app by app, they have, here's what's on it, here's how you use it, here's how to have a discussion about what's going on in it, here's how to double check what your student's doing. you need to go to those websites, connectsafely.org and commonsensemedia.org, and take your student's phone. Write down the apps that they have on their phone. And then go through that website and go through each app and just see what is available. Be aware. Here's another one I didn't mention. There are apps that make other apps disappear so that when the parents look at the phone, they cannot see the apps. You need to know about those apps. And if they have, and those things pop up every day and then they get shut down and a new one happens. The only way you're going to know is if you have discussions and walk with your student through these things. Another tip I'm going to think about, I'm going to close here, is do not let your students have the ability to connect when they're going to bed. Make bedtime, bedtime. Put a central location in your house for all phones, tablets, computers, everything, and let bedtime be bedtime. Because there's a million things you can do wrong at bedtime that you wouldn't do during the day. So just put it away. Disconnect. Pray in your bed. Go to sleep. Just food for thought. All right, as we close, I want to share two scriptures with you. Pull my Bible app real quick. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I will not be dominated by anything. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We must not be dominated by social media. We are called to be rulers, to have dominion, and to be the ones in the image of God. We cannot let social media hold us under as slaves. We've got to rule over it. And as parents, that means you have to rule over it in your house. Do not be dominated in your parenting by social media. We must take every thought captive. The way we think about social media, the way we use it, the way we shepherd our children in using it must be captured by the desire to live in obedience to Jesus. It's just going to be more and more common. Next year is going to be more important than today. 5 years from now, who knows what that looks like. But start now, start today. Don't be dominated by social media. Take every thought captive. Teach your children to do the same. There's hope. This isn't meant to just scare you to death and tell you there's no hope in parenting in this day and age. There is. The hope's Jesus. That hasn't changed. He's our hope. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me share with you a little bit. If you have any more questions, I'll be here today. We can talk. Go to those resources. Start there. Let's pray. Father God, you are good and wise and knowing of all things. You're in control of all things. None of this surprises you. None of it scares you. None of it causes you to worry. God, I pray that you would be our refuge and our shepherd as we try to think about how to use social media, how to do it wisely, how to train our children to do the same. God, I pray that you would just help us love your word more than we love social media, that we would deeply care about, God, reflecting your image in a way that honors you, that we would think about how others see us, that we would not be dominated by anything. God, and we do this not in an attitude of fear of what might happen to our kids or a fear of what's coming. God, we do it in fear of you. God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, how we want to honor you in all of our lives, not just social media. God, I pray that you would just use this hour to promote conversations in homes between parents and kids and grandparents and cousins and friends that would push us towards living online and living in the real world in a way that honors you. God, you are our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.